Welcome to InfoSecurity Magazine's monthly podcast, bringing you news highlights, topical debate, and expert interviews from the information and cybersecurity world. Hello and welcome to this latest edition of the InfoSecurity Magazine podcast. My name is Beth Mondrell and today I am joined by our deputy editor, James Coker. Hi James, welcome to the episode. It's a busy time for us here, isn't it?
Hi Beth. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think as we're recording this, we've got RSA coming up shortly and also a bit further on is InfoSecurity Europe at the start of June. So as you say, yeah, a lot of preparation going on for those events at the moment.
Yeah, and in one of our next episodes we will be talking about InfoSecurity Europe in a bit more detail, so for our listeners, do watch out for that. But for this episode, we are diving into one of the biggest stories of the year in terms of cyber attacks, and that is the ransomware attack targeting Change Healthcare. But before we crack on, a quick message from our sponsor, Vultra. Do you know who's making changes in your system? Find out the who, what, when, and where behind suspicious changes with Vultra's Tripwire, your ally in integrity management. The Change Healthcare incident really is a story with two parts, I feel. So first, you have the impact on the healthcare sector in the US and the damage that has caused. And second, you have the fate of the ransomware groups involved. So I've sourced two amazing guests to tackle these two topics relating to the healthcare incident. So first, we'll hear from Wes Wright. He's the chief healthcare officer at a company called Order. He'll be talking to us about other attacks on the healthcare sector, what the role of the US government is in this situation, and that tricky question when it comes to ransomware, is it best to pay or not to pay? And then later we'll hear from Victor Athin. He is the head of threat intelligence at Outpost 24, and he'll explain the ransomware landscape, why healthcare is such a target, and dive a bit deeper into some of the tactics used in the Change Healthcare incident. But first, James, why don't you take us through a timeline of events and what happened in this incident?
Yeah, sure. I've been following this incident really from when it first broke in February, obviously from across the pond, really following from afar. But quickly became a mainstream story in the US due to the impact it's had on patient care, in particular, disrupting prescriptions being given to patients, which is obviously very, very serious. So yeah, just to quickly explain, health tech firm Change Healthcare, which is owned by United Health Group, it was hit by a cyber attack in February. And so Change Healthcare is basically a provider of healthcare billing and data systems, and it's a key player in the US healthcare system. And as a result, the hack, which was confirmed to be a ransomware attack later, disrupted payments to doctors and healthcare facilities nationwide for a month. So it was a really huge story. So United Health subsequently came out and said, confirmed that the attack was perpetrated by a suspected nation state associated cybersecurity threat actor. And this was later confirmed to be the notorious Black Cat ransomware group, which has been known to target a lot of healthcare institutions certainly in the past few months. And a kind of very recent update is United Health CEO Andrew Witty has confirmed that the cyber criminals used compromised credentials to remotely access a Change Healthcare Citrix portal, which is an application used to enable remote access to desktops. This portal also did not have multi-factor authentication. Once the threat actor gained access, they moved laterally within the systems in a more sophisticated way and exfiltrated data, and ransomware was subsequently deployed nine days later.
Yeah, that's a really great overview of what happened and the impact. And I think this comment that came out at the time of the incident being made public from Rick Pollard, who is the president and CEO of the American Hospitals Association, really outlines the seriousness of this incident. As he said, and this is the quote, "It was the most significant and consequential incident of its kind against the US healthcare system in history." So we're talking about quite a significant attack.
Yeah, definitely. And as you said before, there's kind of two facets to the story, the impact on healthcare and also the cybersecurity lessons that come from the attack. And it's something, a story that's kind of gone on and on really with new facets emerging. So on March 27th, Change Healthcare announced that medical claims are backflowing through its network with Assurance and Relay Exchange back online. However, we then subsequently saw reports that a second ransomware group known as Ransom Hub are trying to exploit the data, something which I know you talk a bit later on with about with to Victor, sorry. So while the systems may now be back online, it has been reported that United Health Group expects the hack of its Change Healthcare unit to cost the company up to $1.6 billion this year, although it has maintained its 2024 earnings forecast.
And I think to add to that, cost is something that's been widely reported and confirmed, is that they did pay a $22 million ransom to get their systems back online. This will be something I talk about with Wes and with Victor. What leads a healthcare company to pay a ransom? And also, what impact does that have on the ransomware gang itself? And some of the double extortion that we've seen is because of this payment not being handled by the ransomware gangs. But Victor goes into a lot more detail about that. So that is the story so far, and hopefully that gives you a bit of a insight into the Change Healthcare attack before we dive into what our experts had to say. But before we hear from them, a quick message from our sponsor. Cyber threats are always evolving, but one thing remains the same. Every breach begins with a single change. Monitor your entire digital environment in real time with Fortress Tripwire to detect suspicious changes and return your systems to their secure and compliant state. Other solutions create excessive alerts, but Tripwire only notifies you when necessary and gives you the who, what, when, and where context you need. Enforce built-in policies from the industry's largest compliance library and generate audit-ready reports with the click of a button. From on-site to the cloud and IT to OT, stay secure and compliant with Tripwire. Now it will be great to get our first guest on. We'll be hearing from Wes Wright. As I mentioned, he has a wealth of experience in the healthcare sector. And I started by asking him about how the healthcare sector has had its fair share of damaging cyber incidents. Let's hear from him now. Wes, thank you so much for joining me. Now, you've worked in the healthcare sector for a number of years. Before we dive into the Change Healthcare attack specifically, can you tell us about some of the other big incidents that have happened in this sector, especially in North America over the past decade or so, and then kind of how that leads up to what the Change Healthcare incident is bringing us now?
Oh, sure, you bet, Beth. First, thanks for having me. I've been working in operational healthcare IT as a chief technology officer, which of course involves a lot of security and working with security folks, and as chief information officer. And yeah, unfortunately, as you stated, this has happened to us before, and it really affects us hard on the operational IT side. That's why I bring that up. The first one of these type of incidents, and I was operating CTO at the time, was with Nuance before they became part of Microsoft. And They do a bunch of transcription for, like, when your provider, after they see you, they'll walk into their office, pick up a microphone and dictate notes. That fires off the Nuance. They have machines in the background that read it and check it, and wow, spits out transcriptions really quick. They got ransomware. We had to cut all of our connections to them. And then we had to figure out, how are we going to do transcription now? Because these machines could do, you know, ungodly amounts of transcription in minutes, whereas, you know, regular people can't do that. So we had to learn how to do that. That was the first major, I would say, healthcare-wide incident that I can remember in my 25-plus year career. The second was only a handful of years later, actually after I'd left the health delivery side of the equation and moved over to the vendor side of the house, and it was with Kronos. Not sure if you're familiar with Kronos. It's a timekeeping application. Most all of our nursing staff and clinical staff are hourly based, and they'll punch in and punch out and get paid overtime and such. And Kronos takes care of all that until Kronos gets a ransomware attack and all of that stuff is locked up. And that created an incredible, panic is to disruption rather than panic. Because it occurred right around the Christmas holidays too, so you had this risk of your clinical staff, most of your clinical staff, most of your employees, not getting paid over the Christmas holidays. So you couldn't do that. So it was really super disruptive. We made it through a lot of clever. It shows the resourcefulness of the healthcare IT folks. Some of these solutions that I heard that they came up with, but they made it through. So yeah, unfortunately, not a new thing in healthcare. This one happens to just be the biggest one. Those other ones affected really smaller pieces of the healthcare revenue stream, because frankly, that's what all three of these have really impacted, is the revenue stream of healthcare. Even the Nuance one, you can't get paid, you know, you can't turn in the, you can't do the CPT codes and ICD-10 codes unless it's dictated, so you can't send bills in. So it affects the revenue stream. Kronos affects the revenue stream, can't pay people, can't get paid. Change Healthcare, though, it really affected the revenue stream. And that's why we've had so much attention paid to it, but it's the same thing that we saw with Kronos and Nuance.
So what do you think has been the biggest impact then that the Change Healthcare attack has had on the industry from your network of people you've worked with and your knowledge of the healthcare sector in the US? What has been the biggest issue that this attack has caused the industry?
Yeah, I don't know who said it, but somebody said, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. And we haven't. And finally, this breach, this what I think of as a cyber terrorist act, finally hit a magnitude that made those folks in Congress who weren't paying attention to this stuff pay attention to this stuff. There have been some folks in Congress, Senator Warner for one, that have been paying attention to this. But now people really are paying attention to it. And making the right moves to actually help those folks on the ground get to where they want to be from a cybersecurity perspective.
Yeah, the US government is set to like investigate the attack, determining whether information was breached, and United Healthcare have provided information to say that some information may have been potentially affected, and that includes personally identifiable information. What do you think the government's role is when it comes to these incidents? And you kind of mentioned there about government waking up a little bit more to it. What would you like to see happen to support the industry that does seem to be a huge target? And we're going to discuss that with one of our other guests later on in the episode about how attackers are targeting specifically healthcare sectors now.
Yeah, so from this specific incident perspective, what can Congress do? I mean, they'll do their regular thing and you know, beat people with a stick and say you're bad. But I think what they can really do is help us become more. They can be more proactive rather than reactive, and by that I mean, you know, back in the early 2000s, they gave us a bunch of money to stand up a digital surface for people to attack in the EHRs. The High Tech Act gave us about trillions of dollars to bring us from 10% digitized health records to 95-some-odd% digitized health records. And they gave us the money for that. They didn't give us the money to protect that great big risk surface that that they help us build. And now I think people are going back to that and going, hey, maybe these folks, because it is a critical industry, an identified critical industry, maybe we should give them X amount of dollars to bring them to this standard in cybersecurity. So I can actually see the latest HHS plan for cybersecurity really lays out the path to get there, and I applaud them for that. So if nothing else, and it probably was just a coincidence of timing, because I know that these committees have been working on this stuff forever. But if nothing else, I think we get the spotlight on that HHS document that lays out a path for what I've been terming meaningful use for cybersecurity in healthcare.
So do you think at the moment it's a severely lacking area, cybersecurity in healthcare, or is it just kind of trying to catch up with the threats that are evolving quicker than kind of we've ever seen?
I don't think it's hardly any of A. There's a lot of B to that, in that healthcare IT grew organically. And by that means there was a lot of different, there's no system of systems, or like a bank has a system that just kind of runs everything. And yeah, healthcare IT is not like that. The little pieces of modules and stuff were all bolted on. So these healthcare IT folks they just barely have enough folks to keep all those plates spinning in the air. If you remember the old Johnny Carson stuff, where they're keeping those plates spinning and they're doing a darn fine job of it. But the bad guys don't have to spin plates. They can concentrate on attacking you. And that's what we need. We need to get some plates off of people's plates and give them some time and resource to get better and hopefully better than the bad guys.
Yeah, and I think that's a conversation across the cybersecurity industry at large, really, about the resources being very stretched. So when you've got what you've described, it's no wonder that attackers are seeing a payday when it comes to a vulnerable industry. Just on that, do you think there is a time to pay a ransom? Do you think it's appropriate? Do you think the healthcare sector has a bit of leeway with that because of the critical nature of the industry?
Wow. You know, I find myself wavering on that. And one thing I don't waver on is that I'm grateful I'll never be in a position to have to make that call, frankly, because there is that, especially in healthcare, if I pay, then I can potentially make care more safe for my patients. So that's always top of mind for a healthcare provider. On the other hand, if I pay, I could be making the provision of care worse for those that are not in my system, because I'm giving them bait to go after other healthcare systems. So it's a decision that people smarter than me and boards of people smarter than me that are all trying to wrestle with right now. So, I think that's probably the first time I've ever completely dodged the answer to a question on a podcast, but I don't know.
It is a difficult one, and I don't think we're ever going to get to an answer, to be quite honest with you. It seems to be the never-ending circle of, well, in some circumstance, or yes or no. I know some people do have a firm line on it, but I think the debate will continue. Just finally then, you kind of mentioned about like the government input and the HHS document and some of the improvements mm-hmm. that can be made in cybersecurity and healthcare. But what do you think the main lesson to be learned from this Change Healthcare incident ought to be for those working in the industry, and especially those who are cybersecurity professionals in the industry, as they kind of go forward and take this on board as a case study in what can go really quite wrong?
There's a main lesson to be learned from several different perspectives in this incident, but the one, and this is just based on a Wall Street Journal article that came out this morning. The one that I'm just going to hammer on is we've learned how important cyber hygiene is. I mean, just the blocking and tackling needs to be done. Stop trying to do all the fancy stuff. Make sure the fundamentals are complete. You have things segmented. You have backups that are incontrovertible, air-gapped backups. And hey, as the Wall Street Journal article said, how about you put multi-factor authentication on an application used for remote access? I mean, that's just fundamentally cyber hygiene that just has to happen. If we can't get that kind of stuff right, we've got no chance, frankly.
I think that's a excellent note to end on. All roads lead to MFA, I think.
Well, all roads lead to good hygiene, like our mother said. but this would be cyber hygiene.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a lot of the conversations I have with cybersecurity professionals, it always ends up back at that same point. Get the basics right and you're halfway there. But thank you so much, Wes, for joining me. Really great to hear your thoughts and your experiences in the world of healthcare. And thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Beth. Always willing to offer an opinion.
Great to hear from Wes there. He's an absolute delight to speak to and speaks very candidly and frankly about his experience and what he thinks are the next steps, really.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really interesting interview. And as he said, Wes is quite a straight talker, which I enjoyed hearing. For my takeaways, firstly, it was great to hear from Wes a bit more about the context and history of cyber attacks on healthcare. And he's obviously been at the coalface in several of these incidents. And it was really interesting to kind of appreciate the impact that an incident on organisations that are not even directly involved in healthcare provision can actually have on the entire healthcare ecosystem. So, for example, the attack on a timekeeping service that he mentioned, that the impact that can have on hospitals and other healthcare organisations. It really shows how it's a very delicate ecosystem and a big concern there. It was also really interesting to hear his point about the Change Healthcare attack being so disruptive that it has at least made the federal government and politicians more broadly in the US stand up and take notice of the threat to healthcare posed by cyber attacks. So I guess the hope is that one positive outcome of this incident, obviously it's a horrible incident, but hopefully it will ultimately lead to better security practices being put in place in healthcare, although Wes did, I did feel like he did express a little bit of skepticism about whether the politicians will channel this energy in the right way. But we are seeing some positive steps there, I think. And then finally, it was a really important message that he left, he ended the interview with, about getting cyber hygiene right in healthcare and obviously other industries as well. We have a lot of talk in cybersecurity about novel technologies like generative AI and deepfakes, but he echoes what a lot of experts tell us as well, which is the best advice to organizations, just get the fundamentals right, like system segmentation, have the backups in place, have MFA in place at every opportunity. I think that's such an important message.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. You have so many conversations about different incidents and attacks, and a lot of the time it does come down to get the basics right and you're halfway there already. So really great to hear from Wes there. But now we are going to dive into the second half of the story, and that's the ransomware side of the story, because this is its own drama with the Black Cat, also known as Alfie, ransomware gang at the centre. For this, I spoke to Victor Athin. He is the head of threat intelligence at Outpost 24. Let's hear what he had to say on this topic. Hi, Victor. Great to have you join us. So you're going to give us a bit of insight into how these ransomware gangs are operating. First, I'd love to ask you a little bit about why the healthcare sector has become such a lucrative target for ransomware gangs. Do you see that they're specifically targeting these institutions?
Well, Beth, first of all, thank you for having me. And as to why healthcare is such a good target for them. This kind of industry is incredibly attractive, basically, to the essence of the business itself. It's a very lucrative basic necessity, and they hold both very private data and the well-being of their own clients. Being able to leverage this allows threat actors to more easily obtain higher payments than from other verticals. Whether or not these institutions are targeted depends a lot on the threat actors themselves and the sort of approach they have to hunting. Some of the threat actors are very much opportunistic, and they will try to breach any company that shows itself vulnerable, while others will try a more of a sort of big game hunting approach. Many groups and threat actors actively avoid this sort of industry due to the potential loss of life. But in the case of Change Healthcare, it has not been so. Black Cat actually lifted the sanction to target healthcare industry a few weeks ago after the FBI incident they had in December.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is this typical behavior of the Alfie Black Cat ransomware gang that has been found to have targeted Change Healthcare, or is this kind of a new approach they've taken?
Well, as far as we know, they do not focus solely on a particular industry, although some of their victims do belong to the healthcare vertical, with a bit more of focus, again, on big game hunting than other more opportunistic groups. In the case of Change Healthcare, though, they were allegedly breached due to a vulnerability in a remote desktop software known as ConnectWise. The group, or let's call it group between quotes, because this is actually a RAS group, actually has several affiliates, and each behaves in a different way. But the group as a whole, as Black Cat plus their affiliates, typically follows the big game hunting approach. But the type of vulnerability exploited in this case talks about a mix sort of between both approaches. Now, the group appeared mostly towards the end of 2021. That's when they started becoming active. And since then, they have been very disruptive. It is clear that it's not their first attempt at creating a ransomware as a service enterprise, and are willing to do basically anything in their power to try and extort their victims into paying the ransom. We have seen instances, for example, of Black Hat contacting the Securities and Exchange Commission to report a client, that's what they call the victims, to report a victim that failed to submit the breach to the SEC. And even they have even threatened some of their victims to contact the affected clients of the victims themselves in order to try to leverage that into getting the ransomware paid. And even though there is no definitive evidence, it is believed that Black Hat is actually linked to dark matter and dark side, which would explain their ability to run the RAS, even though they are supposedly a new group. You might remember DarkSide actually from the Colonial Pipeline attack.
Okay, so the people that are in this ransomware as a service group affiliated with Black Hat LV are actually part of kind of a network that could also have been involved in the Colonial Pipeline attack. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. That's what I am saying.
Yeah. And then, so talking about Black Hat's kind of evolution, it was quite interesting after the Change Healthcare attack happened, because they suddenly were saying that their operations were being disrupted, and there was kind of talks about perhaps another takedown in the style of Lockbit. What do you think happened there?
So it is indeed a very interesting case, because shortly after the Change Healthcare institution sort of paid the ransom, I believe they have admitted to the fact now, the gang went basically missing. They simply vanished. And shortly after, a law enforcement notice went up on their site. Understandably, most people assumed that the gang has been seized by the FBI again. But many in the community believed this to be a red herring of sorts, meaning to mislead their affiliates, while in reality the group left with a payment from the Change Healthcare, supposedly based on the analysis of the Bitcoin transactions of the time. The estimates are around $22 million paid to Black Hat, which would be a very enticing price sort of to cut off and lose and basically run away, right? The thing is that most RAS groups have control over the payments from their victims. Their modus operandi is typically the affiliate breaches the company, exfiltrates the data, and then deploys the ransomware, right? Then the ransomware as a service group takes over, tries to negotiate the payment with the victim, and if they are successful, they pay the affiliate its cut. Depending on the group, the affiliate receives up to 90%, I think. This means that basically the RAS group, or in this case Black Hat, have complete control over the transaction itself. And in this case, Black Hat never forwarded the pay for their affiliates. Now, shortly after, I think about a month afterwards, in the Ransom Hub data leak site, that would be the page in which the ransomware groups released the stolen data, the data for Change Healthcare appeared, right? The affiliate, probably, who lost the $20 million, probably decided to try and extort the Change Healthcare again, this time from a different ransomware as a service group, Ransom Hub. Ransom Hub also tried to claim sort of the new generation of ransomware, and while anything was sort of fair play for Black Hat, Ransom Hub draws a few different lines. They banned, for example, targeting NGOs, attacking the same company twice. The transactions are managed by the affiliates instead of the ransom group, which explains why an affiliate that was sort of betrayed by the ransomware as a service group would switch over to them. So now Change Healthcare sort of got in a pretty difficult situation after paying those $22 million and the Black Hat group technically or allegedly cutting loose with all of that money, and the data is still online in the Ransom Hub data leak site.
And the ransomware as a service landscape clearly does continue to evolve, and we're seeing takedowns of groups and affiliates rejoining new groups, etc., etc. What do you think kind of the future looks like over the next 12 months for these ransomware as a service groups as a whole?
So First of all, with Black Hat's history, I am pretty sure this is not the last time we will be seeing them. Even more so, taking into account that they are linked to other groups. I'm pretty sure that with the money that they got, they will most likely fund either a new ransomware as a service initiative or maybe start something new. But I am not sure if this will have the effect that everyone is fearing. I'm not sure if such a big payment will actually entice other groups to be as bold, mostly because of what we were mentioning before, right? The exit scam performed by Black Hat hurt a lot the credibility of many ransomware as a service groups. And after a period in which we find ourselves now, which is sort of a golden age for ransomware as a service, this betrayal of trust might actually impact the willingness of companies to pay. So we might see a decline of payments during this year, hopefully. That would mean that less money would be funneling the cybercrime activity, and therefore that hopefully would be less reasons for ransomware groups to continue attacking businesses. I don't think this will be the end of ransomware, of course. This is just a small pebble that they will have to overcome and try to regain that that faith sort of on the community.
Yeah, and then finally, for the healthcare sector specifically, is there anything you think they should be particularly cautious of in terms of ransomware and their vulnerability to these types of attack?
So the modus operandi usually of all ransomware groups, or of all affiliates at least, they usually follow the same three entry vectors, which is what we always tell people to look out for, right? Mostly they go after unprotected vulnerabilities, like it was the case for Change Healthcare. They usually also go for leaked credentials that they made use in to try to access, for example, a remote test application. And they also go for social engineering attacks. It's basically the same game for them, whether the company belongs in healthcare, in finance, or it's a retail company. You can leverage those three attack vectors into getting into the company. Now, the healthcare, as overall, at least the healthcare institutions are particularly vulnerable to these sort of attacks because they usually have a lot of sensitive infrastructure that is not easily updated, particularly hospitals. They might be running very old infrastructure, and updating it might mean either having those machines in downtime and not being able to provide coverage for the clients or the basically citizens of the country they're in, or even having that machine stop functioning. So I would say that the best thing they can do is invest in some proper penetration tests, maybe understanding the situation they are in first, and then of course looking after the hospital or the workers of whatever the company is doing in that case, whether they are in the payment processing business like Change Healthcare was, or if it's a hospital, the doctors themselves, right, to try to protect the user side and avoid social engineering attacks, which I think could be very effective in high pressure environments such as these.
Yeah, I think it's a issue that we'll continue to see, unfortunately, affect this sector. As you mentioned, it's not just unique to healthcare, though. Thank you so much, Victor, for that explanation of the ransomware landscape and this attack in particular. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Great to hear from Victor there. Keeping track of these ransomware gangs is very complicated from what he's saying about who's affiliated with who and who's paying who, and it's a real drama.
Yeah, it was great to get that level of insight, actually. Obviously, someone who follows the operations of these ransomware as a service gangs very, very closely. And he mentioned about the various motivations of threat actors that are targeting the healthcare system. And in the case of Black Hat, they kind of removed their restriction on affiliates targeting healthcare organization following the law enforcement takedown of its leak site in December 2023, which is an interesting point.
Just to jump in there, James, I do think that rhetoric about, oh, they have these rules and they had a rule saying not to target healthcare. You can never, with a ransomware gang, even if that rule, quote unquote, air quotes, rule is in place, you can never trust them because they don't ultimately have control. If they're a ransomware as a service gang, do they ultimately have control over what every single affiliate is doing? Probably not. Will mistakes be made? Yes. And are they going to keep those rules in place for the foreseeable future? Obviously, in this case, no. But I do think saying about having these rules, you've got to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt. These are criminals at the end of the day. They're not operating under compliance and guidance rules and regulation. They're just out to steal.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's probably more of a PR exercise more than anything. I always think it's interesting as well, when I spoke to other threat researchers, that a lot of the affiliates obviously can be from based in various regions across the world. They often don't understand and know all the organizations that they are targeting. We've seen in the UK this year there's been a lot of targeting of local authorities, which kind of doesn't really fit properly with an efficient ransomware model, as you're very unlikely to get a ransom payment from like a local council in the UK, given the government's stance on this issue. So that sort of suggests that they don't always appreciate the type of organization that they're targeting. Another really good takeaway from Victor's interview, I thought he kind of described the level of control that Black Hat has over their affiliates during operations, obviously trying to kind of maintain control over the transaction. And he compared that approach to that of Ransom Hub, which is the criminal gang that reportedly hit Change Healthcare a second time. He also made the point that Black Hat's exit scam could lead to victims becoming less trusting that they'll get their data back after paying a ransom. So on a positive spin, hopefully that will lead to less ransoms being paid and weaken the ransomware model. But unfortunately, I think as Victor say afterwards, it's unlikely to have any significant setback to that model over the longer term.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, unfortunately, we will continue to see healthcare organizations or those working in the healthcare sector fall victim to ransomware gangs because of the highly sensitive data information that they hold. And also, it is likely it's more likely to get a payment because of the desperate need to get these systems back online, which is a really sad reality, to be quite honest with you. But I hope for our listeners that gave a bit more insight into the two sides of this story, a little bit of detail from Wes about the impact on the healthcare system itself and what they've already been through and maybe what the future might look like. And then obviously diving into the ransomware gangs on Victor's side. With that though, that is all the time we have for this month. I think probably a little bit of a bumper edition, but hopefully our audience has enjoyed listening to the insights we've provided. Thanks to Wes and Victor for sharing their experience, and also James for your update on the Change Healthcare attack, what happened, and feedback on those interviews. But with that, thanks everyone, and we look forward to you joining us again soon.
Goodbye everyone.
Thanks to our sponsor, Fortra. Stop suspicious changes in their tracks with Fortra's Tripwire, your integrity management ally. Visit tripwire.com today. Thanks for listening to the Info Security Magazine podcast. For in-depth interviews with the industry's leading experts, check out our sister podcast, where we sit down with a cybersecurity expert to discuss the hottest topics of the day and their personal journey into cybersecurity. And of course, for more news, analysis, and expert insight, head to the Info Security Magazine website at infosecurity-magazine.com.